Come, O come, O come, O Holy Spirit. Amen. Maybe just a little less, Craig. No human being needs to endure that much of me. Either that or I'll turn it off and use my camp voice. Good morning.
Good morning.
So did Jared tell you if you came both during a snowstorm and when you were supposed to set your clock ahead that you were getting what, some sort of salvation benefit? I mean, look at you all. I mean, he texted me every 20 minutes for the last 48 hours. Are you coming? Are you coming? Will you be there? Will you be there? I'm like, if you're there, Jared, I'll be there. So good morning to you. Glad that you're all here on this beautiful spring day. Isn't it wonderful? Listen, I'm going to say some incredible things, if I haven't already. That's why they turned up the mic, because they wanted to make sure you would hear them. So that's just to tell you that. But if you don't believe me, believe whomever puts together your bulletin. If you'll open it now, kind of back a few pages, there are not one, but two pages to take notes on the bishop's wisdom. So since I saw that about 17 minutes ago, I've been thinking about how I can multiply this sermon long enough so that you'll have two pages of notes. So there's something going on at St. John's here about it. So you're telling you need to take notes, you need to come in a blizzard, you need to come when you set your clocks for it. I am grateful that you're here on this day. Thank you so much on this wonderful occasion when we'll be confirming some folks, some that I've known for a while, so it's kind of special to meet some of the young people that I've hung out at Tech and camp with, so that's really great to be here and to be a part of, regardless of the weather or whatever time you think it is, or whatever wisdom you think that will be worthy of a note in your sermon booklet there. But now I want to transport you somewhere else where I think many of us would rather be right now. It's a warm summer day. Embrace that if you will. I'm 16 years old, and I've been charged with the responsibility of taking these 8 campers here. They're my small group at camp. They were kind of a wonderful, crazy, wild bunch, kind of like Elliot was when I knew him, when he was relatively close to that age. Filled with a lot of spirit, a lot of energy, and all those sort of things. And our task, if you will, was to, we were assigned to go on a hike, go to this destination. We were given a piece of paper, kind of like scavenger hunt. We were to go to this destination, and then we would meet everybody else there, and then we would have lunch. So I took my little band of minions, and we were starting to hike. And of course, again, I'm 16 years old. I'm large and in charge. These are my people. I'm responsible. I'm the counselor. Follow me. And we started hiking up the trail and going along our ways, and they were doing all the things that they potentially should be and shouldn't be doing in terms of veering off the path and going in different directions and all of that. All of what you would expect for, you know, group of young rascalians. We get to this place where it looked like a good place to take kind of a break, look over the landscape, have some water, and then a young man says to me, let's just call him Elliot since I'm already picking on Elliot. Let's just call him Elliot. Says to me, counselor, I know a better way. To which I said, really? Said, no, I know that this is the trail, it's on the map here, but I know a different way. I know a different direction. And I thought, all right, Elliot, okay, we'll let you lead for a while. In part, to be honest with you, because I was like, okay, we'll go for about 20 yards of that, and we'll get lost, and we'll get back on the trail, and I'll show Elliot who's smarter here. Me, the counselor, of course. So off we go off this trail, off to the side, which then pretty quickly moved into some thicket. It got really, I mean, it was a lot of brush. But the rest of the group was totally into it. They're like, yeah, this is great. And they're bushwhacking and all of these sort of things. And all of a sudden, something occurred to me. Something occurred to me in this moment is that they were much more engaged, much more interested, much more in the moment with us as a group. And in terms of how we were coalescing as a group, changed completely. Changed completely. And a bit scarred, if you will, some scratches and things like that. We, in fact, did get to our destination. And we, in fact, got there way before anyone else. Might be because we went straight up the hill through the brush. But we got there before everyone else, which is only, if not really, what's important. What's important is that the journey we took was transformative for us at the time. Emerson says this, do not, take the path that is easy to be led by. Rather, Make your own trail. Make your own trail. What we experience today in the gospel, it starts out the Spirit is going to lead Jesus, right? The Spirit's leading Jesus into the wilderness. And what transpires in that time? I want to suggest to you that Jesus' time in the wilderness was not the normative path. Jesus' time in the wilderness is not how my sense is, certainly I don't know, not how I would respond to those temptations when they came my way, right? Especially love that last one. All can be yours, right? All can be yours, right? I think that's the normative path. I think the temptations that come, if we're really honest with ourselves, each one of those and many others, when we see those, experience those about, boy, that would be pretty good for me. That'd be pretty good for me. I think I'll do that. I think I'll go that direction. You have to do that. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus forges his own way. That's the transformation that happens in the wilderness with Jesus, is that he does not take the normative path, and in fact calls us not to do that as well. He says, follow me down a different way, a different path. Not down the path that is self-serving. Your presiding bishop often talks about the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. It's selfishness. And when we hear the temptation story today, each and every one of those takes us to a place of selfishness. But what we're being called to is a place of love. Love of God, love of neighbor, love of self, of who we've been created. Sally Young writes this in a wonderful reading called Follow Me. I'm leading you along a way that is uniquely right for you. The closer to me you grow, the more fully you become your true self, the one I designed you to be, because you are one of a kind. The path you are traveling with me diverges increasingly from that of other people. However, in my mysterious wisdom and ways, I enable you to follow the solitary path while staying closely in contact with others. In fact, the more completely you devote yourself to me, the more freely you can love people. Marvel at the beauty of life intertwined with my presence. Rejoice as we journey together in intimate communion. Enjoy the adventure, finding yourself through losing yourself in me. Friends, the Spirit leads each and every one of us. All the way along, there are diversions where we're being pulled to go in other directions. The season of Lent is a reminder and an opportunity for us to move back on not the path that seems at times normative in our world and in our culture, but the path that Jesus calls us. The one that moves away from selfishness to love. The one that moves us away from doing what everyone else is doing to the one that we have been uniquely created for. Lent is our opportunity to find that path once again. One of the things I always tell confirmants, say this all the time at camp and other experiences at our schools, I have a short little mantra that is really my hope. But if you hear nothing else, particularly if our young people hear nothing else, but I think it's relevant to all of us, are three things. Three things that I would say for me are compass for our path, for the path that we're being called to proceed on. Know deep in your heart that you are a beloved child of God and uniquely made in God's image. Second, know that you have been gifted uniquely by the Holy Spirit. And third, know those first two things are not about you or for you, but it's so God can work through you. Who we've been created and how we've been gifted is so we can love and serve God. So as these folks come up in just a moment, I invite you to be in prayer with them. I invite you to be in prayer with them that they too will continue to understand and see and discover the path that God is leading them to. My prayer for all of us during this Lenten season, that in this time where the Spirit is leading us, that we will be open to that. Not the usual path, but the path that leads us to the love of Jesus. Let us pray. May the dust of the wilderness hold our footprints lovingly, shaped as they are by your hurt for dust remembers. May the journey into the wilderness unfold honestly, for honesty is the gift your soul recognizes as you. May your time in this wilderness be shaped by space rather than minutes, so there is time enough for all of you. May the stories in this wilderness cry out your name loudly, that your spirit recognizes the voice that has been calling you always. And may you know this wilderness has been expecting you, and you find between the stones a growing promise of God's unconditional love for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.